Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of Wolves Fancast, and joining me on this crisp Christmas Eve, Adam's here, everybody.
Joining everyone on the sofa.
Yeah, we were decanted once again here at Fancast HQ. Let's see how long that lasts for. Adam's here anyway.
So hello.
There we go.
Hello.
People want to know.
I am here.
Yeah. We'll talk about why people want to know as well in a sec, but Stu's here as well.
I think decanting is the way to go.
I think so,
it's much more comfortable here.
It is. More relaxed atmosphere.
It's more Christmassy now as well.
Yeah, I think so. Especially now that Stu's got the jumper on.
And the socks.
Seeing Stu walk down the street in full Christmas gear, it's a daunting sight, you know, because you just think some
out of
reality.
It's a challenge to the eyes.
Yeah, but you can wear an elf hat.
Yeah,
you
but I'm small. The size of an elf.
Dan's here, by the way.
Just I'm so sat you know. On a puff.
You are,
first
yeah.
time in a long while. I only have wooden chairs at home.
Or just people. They just become your furniture.
Yeah. Usually on people's shoulders because the height issue and stuff.
Okay, on the podcast this week, we're going to talk about Newcastle. We'll preview the game against Bournemouth and other things. Gentlemen, at the end of the podcast last week, I jokingly said we'll be coming back to talk about back-to-back wins. And look at what a prophecy I am.
Clairvoyant you are.
Back to back wings, people. Never worried. Never worried.
I think president of positive club.
Yeah, I was never worried.
Was negative club, was he? Never.
Never worried whatsoever. Let's talk about transfer rumours first. And the first one is our boy Jimenez. The rumour is that Wolves are looking to make that loan switch permanent for €38 million or £34 million in today's currency. Could be obviously less or more. I don't know how it would work with Brexit, but one of those. There's a Brexit joke there, isn't there?
Depends on how it slides or not.
Yeah. What do we think? Because I think, wasn't the release clause or the amount that was reported £30 million anyway when the loan first started?
Say, yeah, I thought we had like 30 mil.
There's a lot of people who I've seen, obviously, on the Twitter sphere saying that's too much money. But surely it's basically around the money that has been set anyway.
If it's gone up, then it's going to be on performances and positional finishes, you think. Because why else would he go up by £4 million? It doesn't make any sense, but... For his contribution, you can't argue with that. No problem with it whatsoever. No transfer fee sensible anymore anyway, so as long as we've got the money, which we clearly have, and we're in the top half when we buy him, then job done.
How old is he now?
Yeah, that old, is he? You know, 20, 25, 26?
I can't tell anymore.
Quickly Google, Adam. Quickly Google.
just keep talking.
Yeah, they'll still like never. They'll give him like a 5, 6, 7 year deal, and they'll just spread the cost when so it ain't really that much of a...
Exactly, it'll be like...
Liverpool paid £35 million for Andy Carroll.
Yeah, and that was... How long ago was that? 5, 6 years ago?
That was the whole point. If you could spread it over a decent time, like Liverpool planned with Andy Carroll, £35 million over a 10-year period as their number nine, it would have been like £3.5 million a year, which would have been good money, but it flopped.
27.
So, yeah.
He's 27.
He's prime.
I thought he was younger
than that. So you'd expect him to have it on a four-year deal. You got the prime of a striker's life. There's some kind of Disney song in there. But for €35 million, for someone who would be proven in the Premier League, who's essential to the way our team play, then of course.
I was going to say, I was going to say what you said then. He clearly fits into a style of play, and it's working with him. Mm-hmm. And with different prospects up front without him. And when I say a different prospect, less of a prospect without
Can
him.
You repeat everything I say on every episode? When we play well, he plays well. When he plays well, we play well.
Yeah.
Because everything... Defence, attack, it all starts from the top, doesn't it? And he's the one who is at the forefront of it.
We definitely ball best play well with him in front. We definitely don't play as well with Adama Traore out front.
Oh, yes.
So well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
One assumes.
Talking of Traore, of course, the other rumour coming out this week is that Middlesbrough have apparently want him back on loan in January. Now, would you welcome already a Adama Traore exit in January? Yeah. Record signing?
Yeah, because he's been shit. He's done absolutely... apart from West Ham, in the last 10 minutes when he came on, what has he actually done for us?
That was almost like a bit of a defining moment for him, because if he doesn't bury that chance, I wonder how much game time he gets after that.
He's done nothing at all.
Did well when he came on against Man City.
Yeah, but it's easy to raise your game against big teams, eh?
And how many games ago was that now?
Yeah.
Really?
You know, and you look at everyone else.
He set up Bonatini in the League Cup. If you can set up Bonatini for a goal, you've got to be doing something well.
But even in that game, he was completely poor, anonymous in the first half. It was only in the second half when people started getting on his back and he started trying to take six on at once. But then you've got Jota coming back, who did that on Sunday anyway, who was doing it last season. He's just been a waste of money. A complete and utter waste of money. Me and Andy had the same thing, that you worry that, is he going to be the Adama Traore that's just a one-trick pony, and he is. That's all he is. He's got some close control, but he's got no brain.
Because you kind of get the feeling that we bought him, in essence, because of his pace, and in the Premier League, pace is king in some ways. But I don't want to go too much into it now, because obviously talk about it in Newcastle, but there just seems to be times where ball control and just looking at the ground constantly when he's got the ball.
He's highly frustrating to watch. That's no doubt about it. And when we I loved him when he first started, because he was just something a bit different, where a man of that, we're all just sat here looking at him, this man of immense size, but he can just be that fast. So this guy is not human. And then initially, his first couple of sub appearances, he was a bit different, because he was just taking players on. They couldn't seem to get the ball off him. Then West Ham was obviously his highlight, but then since then, you just want to tear your season ticket up and just throw it at him, because
it's like, yep, I've done what I needed to do, got my goal.
Yeah, well, he just runs into people, or his first touch literally goes 10 yards ahead of him. There's one we'll probably talk about more in the game, but the Newcastle game, where the ball takes his first touch and it's gone 10 yards.
I mean, to try and defend him, there are games where the game plan is from the opposition to put three or four people on him.
Oh yeah, that's
which is going to be even with all the pace in the world, that's going to be difficult to.
Yeah, but
through.
If you've got two or three people on him, then there's space for everyone else. But he ruins it and he cocks it up every time by just losing the ball. He's like a shitter version of Georgian Dar. That's what he is. I mean, they even said it when the on Match of the Day 2, they were talking to Nuno about why he was playing. I think it was Waddle asked him why he was playing in the middle rather than out wide, and he was like coming up with saying he's got to learn, and he's come here, and he was like saying, well, we've tried him on. He's pretty much saying we've tried him on the wing, and he's been that bad. We might as well just try him up front. To give him as a rest, because he ran himself into the ground against Chelsea.
For the record, though, I wouldn't loan him out. I'd still keep him for the rest of the season. I wouldn't get rid of him this quickly. I would continue persisting with him, but he does need to raise his game.
Well, Stu's obvious what we want to do. Dan, what would you do with the Traore situation?
It's still an option that we need to have.
I wouldn't start him. Just keep.
I think
him
that
on
might be one of his problems. Although the fact that he's not getting decent amounts of game time, and when he's coming on off the bench, we're not exploiting him on the counter like we should be. He hasn't got the brain to see passes over the top, has he?
He can't pass. It's all about him, and there was a couple of times towards the end of the second half where he actually looked up and passed to one of our blokes, and that's the first time I can think of him actually doing it all season long, because it's all about him running as fast as he can and crossing it in to varying degrees of success.
There's even been times, especially in the Newcastle game, I feel like we're going to touch on it in a sec, but there's even times in other games where he runs that fast that it still doesn't seem to matter. The opposition player he's chasing down just seems to still get the ball before him, and you're thinking, if you are this fast, why aren't you getting there first?
I think we all really, if we looked at it, we all knew what we were getting from him, because we knew what he was like from the Championship last year. I remember, I think all of us made the same comment in the chat group when we watched Borough in the playoffs, and just watching him beat his man over and over again, but then just humph the ball right out. He crossed, was just going straight out of play every time. Mm. And we all made comments on it. So nothing's really changed since then, other than now, he doesn't even get a chance to put his crosses in, because he's already ran into his marker. So I don't think we was expecting world class from him, but he's just the last few weeks, for my view, he's just been really, really frustrating.
If he didn't have pace, he wouldn't even be in the championship, because that's all he's got. And it's frustrating, because you can see that if used properly, it's a devastating Bennett throwing like weapon. But he's not got the brain for it, and I don't think you can't coach that. Mm. I just don't see what. Just cut our losses and just get rid.
Get Jordan Graham back.
Yeah. Well, look, he's tearing up Championship A, so on the bench for no one.
What a waste of a career. Of our Dharma Trail, or if he'd all pull his finger out.
Just show him Graham's career thus far and say, this could be you, Adama, if you don't stop running into people.
You could play the piano, but not play football.
I don't think we should let him go.
No, I don't think so.
But you've got to question the recruitment team and spend $18 million on him. But I suppose that was probably...
down to the wire, though, probably a part of that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Personally, I'd keep him. I think have him on the bench, because we've got a small squad anyway. I mean, we can't really get rid of people unless we're bringing them in. But I think he'd be more worthwhile coming off the bench in those games where we're soaking up pressure and you get him to attack and chase the balls.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he's just best.
I mean, I'm saying the only way you get let him go is if there was someone else coming in. You'd be insane to just get rid of him just completely, because we ain't got the bodies. Unless you're going to play Giles out there. So
We'll need him for the Europa squad, though.
Yeah, that is true. Who's this
Japanese guy?
Not even going to attempt to try and pronounce the name, but it's already been debunked from your boy Tim Spears, isn't it?
Oh, well, that's that then.
But that's something like, we do all these transfer rumours, but as soon as the ENS pod comes out and debunks the myths or the rumours, then we've got 2 days.
Selfish.
We've got 2 days to sell this.
Selfish boys.
Right, before we get into the Newcastle game, we're going to talk about the game against Chelsea briefly. Not because of the game, of course. We won, though. Yay. It's because we were very kind. Someone was very kind to invite us to their box on Wednesday night. Indeed, it was the club sponsors W88 who invited some of the Fancast lads here to their box to watch the game against Chelsea. Adam, you were one of those people who were lucky enough to go.
Indeed, I was.
You little swine.
Thank you.
You went with Andy and Ben and Roy and a couple of other halves as well.
We did.
It was good from what you told everybody else.
It was great, yeah. I mean, I've in about 20-odd years of going to Molineux, I've never once come close to doing corporates of any form, and now I have. through the medium of the fan cast.
But it was like the proper, the Billy Wright boxes.
So, we went, it was in Sir Jack's restaurant, because they were the W88 with the match day sponsors, so they were at the top table. So, yeah, it was just it's a great experience. So they gave us a three-course meal. Then we had the option of going out onto the pitch for photos before the match, so we did that. And then one lucky person amongst us had the opportunity to go out onto the pitch before the game, as the teams were out, and have photos with the captain. Luckily, that person was Moi.
Were you hoping it was going to turn into one of these things we see in Europe now, where you have the honorary kick-off, where somebody actually kicks the ball off?
Me?
Were you hoping to do that?
Hoof it for a throw.
That Diana Ross moment at World Cup 94.
This is why we asked in the chat for a number between 1 and 4, and no one came back to us in time.
Okay.
Because we obviously all four of us wanted to do it, so we all just picked a number. And then you were taking ages to get back to us, so I just asked the woman who was selling raffle tickets, would you just pick us a number between 1 and 4? And luckily, she picked my number. I went out and had a photo, gave Connor Cody a little word of encouragement.
And it worked, it seemed. Do you think it worked, or do you think it caused his own goal?
I never thought of that. Damn. I put him off, hadn't I? So we did that, come back in, watched the game from outside the box, and then... we were just chatting to them all about the fan cast, chatting to them about W88, and because as a company they haven't really got much footprint over there, so they're looking to Wolves fans to help grow their brand. So they need to improve their social media presence, so if Wolves fans can go looking for them on social media, then please do that. And then so the game was brilliant, which I think we spoke about before, how great it was to come back from 1-0 down to win 2-1. And then to finish off, I think Jota got the man of the match from from the corporate folk. And then Ben and Andy had the privilege of giving him his Man of the Match champers. It wasn't a Carlin, sadly.
We have moved on to champagne anyway.
It wasn't. So. It was a hoity-toity, so they're the champagne. And then also they had a signed Wolf shirt in the frame, which Andy thought for a minute that he was going to be taking home with him. Because he was left holding it, so he thought, well, is this for me or what? But that's going up a private place in WA8's box. So, no, brilliant. Thank you ever so much to WA8 for the privilege.
Yeah, no.
It was an amazing experience. Because
it kind of came a bit out of the blue, didn't it, originally, that contest?
24 hours before the game. Yeah, so it was pretty much out of the blue.
Big thanks to them because it's a bit of a real honour to be invited to.
It was, yeah, it's a great experience. I've loved every minute of it. So thanks again to WA8 for the privilege of it. And just let's, as Wolves fans, just help grow WA8's brand over here.
Right, we're going to talk about the game on Sunday night. It was Super Sunday, 4 o'clock. We were hoping for a better scoreline than the last time we were on at that time. And it was, and Wolves won 2-1 at St James's Park. Jota gave Wolves the lead. A few minutes later, Perez got the equaliser for Newcastle, but it was a last-minute winner, gentlemen. We all have a last-minute winner. Doherty with the header that sealed all 3 points for Wolves. Gents, really, and yet we won, but this was a bit of a poor game, wasn't it? Ultimately, the quality on the pitch. I mean, Martin Tyler wasn't even commentating on it, and that kind of sums it up for you. But overall, yes, we won. Great, and I think there's a lot to dig into. But game-wise, it wasn't the greatest game, was it?
It was a Rafa spectacular. That's what it was. It was spoil, ruin, and trying to scrap a point out of a losing situation because they're terrible. That's exactly what it is, and they're scrapping for their lives. And it showed because, I mean, I've seen Newcastle before, and I've never seen them line up with five at the back before. Never. They always play at least a three, or at most a four, but never a flat back five, which it was at times against us. Which is a compliment to us, of course, and especially playing against Chelsea, but I just thought they were at home, considering they'd lost, was it
7 out of 9?
So 6 out of 8 at the time going into that game. You'd think, well, you need to put your finger out your arse a bit and have a go.
Well, they would have earmarked this game surely. So.
Well, that's what he seems to do. He seems to earmark games where you get points from. And to say, oh yeah, well, we'll settle for a point against newly promoted Wolves at home, that'll do us, is a bit piss poor, really. But we could only react to what we had in front of us.
Back-to-back wins, is the tide in luck starting to turn in Wolves' favour?
Well, it's keep the negative fans quiet for a bit anyway. I'm not saying that to anyone in particular, by the way. That's just like an open comment.
Yeah,
I know I'm the positive ones. When I say I'm positive, I'm not saying we're going to win every game 5-0. I'm positive about our long-term
Our long-term plan.
because I mean, people were getting a bit concerned, shall we say, from the six games prior to the last two. But I mean, after two like amazing wins afterwards, we're back in the top half now, and the Europa dream's back on again, isn't it? I mean, we as blokes love a late finish, don't we? So that, I mean, it was brilliant. Second time this year as well, and a late finish twice this season.
It wasn't a ridiculous extent. It still wasn't as incredible as a Bristol City one. For me, anyway, personally.
I think there was more riding on that Bristol City game, wasn't there? That's why it felt so special. It almost took me a second to actually compute that we scored that last minute goal.
It's because the roles kind of reversed, weren't it? Because we were down to 10 for longer, weren't we, in that one?
But it seemed to go, because of being up in the clouds, watching it on telly, it was obviously, as soon as it came to Doherty, it was a goal anyway. But from where we were, You really couldn't judge anything at all.
Get the binoculars out. Is it Ian Allen? It's in!
Another.
It's like watching Sabutio from there, isn't it?
I did try the run.
Did you try it?
I mean, I did it when I was 19. I ran to the very top.
What flight did you conk out on?
A four from the top.
That's good effort, that is.
But, with my stature and age, it was quite impressive. But no, it just seemed to hang in the air for ages and ages. You thought, it's gonna go over the way it's happened for us today. But no, fair play. I mean, and what I said on the last time I was here about Jota being on the left and being a tenacious little bulldog again, and supporting Vinagre on that left hand side, it's worked wonders in the last two games, and he looks back to his best. It's amazing.
Dan, initial thoughts on the game, post game?
just repeating what these guys just said, really. They were just there to spoil it, weren't they? And I still think we struggle to break teams down who don't really want to try and play football. We had enough chances to win 3 or 4 easy, didn't we, on another day?
But it's almost like we've gone from traditional Wolves in the Championship, where we can never beat teams who come and sat behind the ball, to being promoted a whole league, and it's exactly the same. And we're so used to being like that.
The Wolves way.
Yeah, the Wolves way, that it's almost like second nature already.
They are a Championship side, aren't they?
They're shocking. They're absolutely...
Again, it's coming from TV, but first off, they were all right, Newcastle. And they did look nippy in the final third. I just think, to me, there were times watching the game, because I think it was a poor game, where there still seemed to be a sense of fragility about the side, our side, that I think a bit more of a better team might have put us to the sword. I think easier in the first half, but I think in the second half, once their man went off, we just massively grew into it.
Well, it was more the case of when Moutinho came on.
Yeah.
Because Neves, yet again, it's like a broken, it's like my assassination attempt against him, despite him getting a tattoo of a wolf on his arm, regardless. He's just not doing it.
He'll always have that memory when he leaves in January, won't he?
He's just not doing it. And Moutinho came on and he just carried on as he left off at Chelsea. Him and Gibbs, well, we just class again.
Let's talk about the goals, and Jota mainly, firstly, with the first goal. Again, this goal, when it came to Jota, even when it went in, a part of me thought he'd completely messed it up and it hadn't actually gone in. And again, it took me a second to go, oh,
it's actually gone in.
It's actually gone in.
Yeah, the keeper didn't seem to make much of a conviction on his attempt to save it, did he?
But it did kind of hit the keeper who went in, though, didn't it?
It kind of hit straight at him, wasn't it,
yeah.
Jota? I mean, first of all, I'm happy that Costa's off the mark in a goal and or assist.
Yes, because, yes.
It's overdue, really. I know he's not been playing great recently, much as it pains me to say, but I'm happy that he's finally notched in an assist column. And it was a cracking ball as well. I think, was it Lascelles? He just went over his head. I think he probably could have done a little bit better with it, but it was great to pick Jota out. I mean, if I was in Jota's position, I'd be doing that first time, which shows how much I know about taking an attempt for granted. But he kind of brought it down, and then the shot was literally, it was straight at him, and somehow it still just cannoned off to Bravka and went in. It's a fair play. I mean, like you said at the time, I thought, what's he doing? Because just hit it, but it's somehow got the times. And even though the keeper's like 2 yards away from him, and he's 5 yards out from goal, take it down and put it in.
It's funny because a few weeks ago, that chance would have probably got over or hit straight at the keeper. I mean,
you kind of expected him to, the Bravka, to just come out and just swallow it up.
Yeah.
But he went into that. I mean, you listen to David Priest on Totally Football Show and wherever, and he always says that the awkward place for a keeper is between either under the armpit or down low, and he went from in between his armpit, and you can't react to that. And especially with the pace that he hit it with, you think, well, Jota from a few weeks ago, it wouldn't have gone there. He would have paired a puffy.
It's the same thing that happened with Jimenez in his goal against Chelsea.
Exactly,
he hit it close to the keeper, which they can't get their limbs to quick enough. And this was
exactly the same.
Yeah, similar.
But like Stu just kind of, you touched on there, Jimenez, Jota just seems to be the tenacious Jota that we saw last season. And it's, you know, I think we talked about on the show last week, we were kind of thinking, oh, actually, is Jota really at this level? In the space of two games, he's just come back to the Jota we know, and it's lovely to see. There's even times where even the goal, the winning goal, which he set up, there was like four players on him, and they could not get anywhere near him. It's ridiculous.
It's amazing seeing someone's confidence come back so quickly from being absolutely on its arse. I can't think of a time when you've gone from being so low to so high in the space of 180 minutes or so, to what he's at now, where he's you got to look at that and think, well, he's one of the first choices on the team sheet now.
Return of the Jedi, low point, end on a high point. Could be 180 minutes.
Yeah,
there'll be film references for that. Better film references.
Well, Endgame.
Oh, it could be. So we've got.
I can't contribute to this bit now.
Terminator 2.
Should just name some sequels. Pirates of the Caribbean 3. I don't know
what I'm talking about. I don't know, it's what I'm saying, a goal confidence brings, doesn't it? I think Gibbs was, since he had that the Tottenham home game, his confidence has grown. I think he actually believes he's definitely good enough for this level now.
I think he's probably just following Gary Lineker on Twitter. I mean, that shot from Gibbs-White as well, that was a superb save from Dubravka. Yeah. I mean, he went through a couple of players as well. And again, it's the same thing. Would he have done that a few weeks ago? Probably not. Yeah, you probably... I
mean, the step over for Doherty?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quality.
If that's me, I'm hitting it first time as Gibbs-White. Never mind thinking of a step over. It's a really good save. I thought if he was like low on the ground, I think he would have went past him. Just the right height for him, I think.
Let's talk about the equaliser from Perez. Any getting any kind of quibbles with that one?
Great header.
He's got in front of the crowd, hasn't he? I mean, probably some of them are still marvelling at the free kick that came off, cannoned off the bar. Because,
oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you watch it back, when Rondon puts it back in again, in all that time, Perez doesn't really move in the box. He's just standing still. Just no one's really picking up on him. And fair dues. It's a good header. Yeah, it's a fair header, isn't it, really?
Matt Murray would have saved it.
Would Stefan Possum have saved it?
You would have got an answer to it, but I think he would have went in.
Would Jan Buds have saved it?
Definitely not. Paul Jones' second spell definitely wouldn't have. He would have been just stood in the middle of the goal. The
clincher is, would Graeme Stack have saved it?
Anyone else?
Miami, of course he would.
What is Emi Martinez doing now? Where is he?
It's too painful to think of.
One of the big incidents of the first half after the goals, of course, were the Bolly elbow, or not elbow. Obviously, Benitez not happy with that. Why is he? Was it that one he pointed for VAR? Which one was it? One he actually pointed for VAR? He did the VAR symbol.
Yeah, sending off.
You can't just go like that and think, oh yeah, okay, well, let's do VAR, everyone.
I thought he made himself look absolutely stupid saying that. But why complain about something? You know, he's not involved in the game.
Isn't it lovely when your team wins and the opposition manager and fans have got lots to moan about and you can just sit back and relax and watch it?
He's just a hypocrite.
It's lovely.
He's just a hypocrite. The whole situation is just a joke.
Let's look at the Bolly one, though, when he went up with Perez. Was that a red card or not?
It was an accident. He's not If he's got eyes in the back of his head, he doesn't even flinch. Unless he can look without moving his eyes, which I don't think he can. He doesn't know he's there. He's just jumped for the ball.
He never looks at him.
Yeah, exactly.
Never looks at him.
You look at VAR for that, you think, well, no, it's an accident. Fair play.
It doesn't help that Perez is like me standing next to you. Because the Bolly's arms, that high, it's always going to catch him around his head or his... face, isn't it?
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing in it. And the fact that there'd been so much cheating and rolling around and time wasting already, that when he went down holding himself and the ref was just, well, no, this is my show.
I mean, he has caught him in the bullseye, hasn't he? It's a full on elbow, but at the point, the crux of the matter is there's no intent there.
Professional footballer jumps in a pencil position, no way he would do that.
Yeah. I'd like to see some try, but.
There's lots of like, salmon bobbing for headers in the future. There was obviously a red card, and that came in the second half where Jota was brought down. I'm a bit contentious with this one. I understand why they gave a red card, but I think, who was it in the middle?
Lascelles.
Lascelles doesn't get across in time.
I don't think it's Chris Jordy Waddle
admitted that after the game, and there was an interview in there, now that he was going to get across. It's still a goal-scoring opportunity.
I might have given a yellow card for that, personally.
But it doesn't look as bad when you're watching it back and you know what's coming to first-hand. You think, well, he's got through. Clear. Mm. And there was never a doubt in anyone's mind. They didn't even boo or anything to start with. It was like, oh, shit. Like, they knew what was coming. But then you watch it back and you're looking for where Lascelles is. But in the moment, you think, blatant red card, and you look back at it and I still think exactly the same thing, that Jota, it doesn't matter if he'd have got back, Jota would have had a shot off, which is a chance on goal,
or he would have Traore for an open goal.
I was going to say that, yeah. Well, you watch it back on the replay, you see from the behind the reverse angle of it, you see all the Newcastle players who are all just going, oh god, half of them know what's coming, so there's no protest there. And likewise, yeah, if Lascelles was somehow to manage to get across, he can square it for a Adama, who surely would have buried it in the bottom
goal,
corner.
Goal scoring opportunity doesn't mean having a shot either. It can mean square.
Yeah.
So, on the technicalities of the law, big fat Rafa's got that wrong as well.
That's when Wolves kind of grew more into the game. Jimenez had that shot. Hit the crossbar in the second half. I thought that was it.
That was upsetting.
Oh.
Yeah,
you were upset by that, were you?
Well, yeah, because he's in my dream team, isn't he? So, that's 4 points gone.
But of course, the goal came. I mean, when the goal, before the goal happened, we got to 90 minutes and I just thought, this is really petering out for a 1-1 draw. Just kind of expecting, thinking, okay, point really, in fairness with recent results. And then just like out of nowhere, Jota has that run saved and just out of nowhere, Doc's there and just heads at home and happy days on a Sunday night.
He seems just keep running forever, Jota, because Moutinho makes the tackle, doesn't he? Like nearby our own area, doesn't he?
Yeah.
On Perez, I think it was. Anyway, and then he passes it off, and Jota gets on the halfway line, just keeps going. And there's, like you said, there's about four or five players who are just watching him.
Yeah.
They just keep like challenge on him, do they?
Yeah, they do the old Stephen Ward back pedal.
Yeah.
Going, he keeps coming.
And then, even I think Jota even kind of gets round one of them in the end. I think they do catch up, but. What I found with Josh in the first half, and I found it with Chelsea, that he was at times almost trying to walk the ball in the net, whereas this was the first time he actually decided to have a shot at a distance, and it paid off.
Yeah, I think his goal just brought that out of him. He thought, well, it's monkeys off his back, get it out of the way now. And it gave him the confidence to have a go. But yeah, I mean, it's Doherty still just doesn't stop running ever. You say it about Jota, but he just don't stop. You think someone of his height, and he's not exactly slender, and he's not exactly small. So he's what, 6'1", 6'2"? He's got to be about 14 stone. And he just don't stop running. It's amazing.
So goal of the season now for Doc. For a right back, really, in the Premier League.
I've got to get him a dream team.
Yeah. Well, he's in the... If you listen to the Times, on the Game at the Times podcast, they all pretty much in the tips at the end, they're raving about him all the time. So you need to get him in your dream team because of the assist points.
Because ultimately, he is an attacking threat. He's going to chip in another couple of goals, you would think, at least this season.
Defensive winger should be his role.
Mm.
Not right, but ring back. Right, ring back. he's another one, isn't he? When he plays well, we play well, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Michael Cox said on the Totally Show today that he's Premier League Player of the Season.
How many podcasts are we advertising here, by the way? Well, Stu's just thrown them all out.
Any more, Stu?
I'm sure they all advertise us.
Get them out now. Come on, any more.
There's other Wolves podcasts available as well.
Yeah. I want to talk about individual players. Saïss or Saïss, whichever one you're going to go for. Just, he's really made...
Use the pun.
Yeah.
There's balance in the force.
Sensational. Is it? Was it that one?
What did you say? Delivered with aplomb there.
Yes. Sensational.
That's it. That's the one. But since he's came in for Chelsea, and again with the Chelsea game, he's added that steel that we were talking about in the midfield. And I think the question going forward might be more who now plays with Saïss, rather than does Saïss keep his place.
Are you Saïssable at times?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, God.
For me,
I'm going home.
It's Moutinho. It has to be Moutinho. Just because Neves isn't at it at all at the minute.
Well, he couldn't be an idiot then.
He's an idiot?
He's just not at it. And I don't know why, if his head was turned with the whole all the link stuff, but he's the one who's performed the least out of all the midfield trio.
It's Ronaldo. Come to me, Ruben. Come home, sweet Ruben. But yeah, Saïss, he's just great. Again, against Newcastle, I thought.
He's just slotted back in where he left off last season. He just does his job. He doesn't do anything else. He does his job perfectly well. Thankfully, there was no abuse of him, which I thought that there might be at Newcastle, but no.
Because they did hint at it as the teams walked out. They talked about it, about what happened the last time Saïss was
there. Yeah, we don't hear anything.
No. Which is obviously the right thing.
Yeah.
Where was Shelvey in all this?
He was injured, wasn't he? They said.
Just as well.
The threat of Harry Potter was on his tail again.
But it's odd to think at the start of the season we were talking about Neves, Moutinho, could be one of the greatest centre midfield partnerships at Wolves, but could be the best centre midfield partnership in the Premier League. And I bet you wouldn't have said to ourselves, 15 games later, it's not really working out, to be honest. I think you're going to put Saïss back in there.
They're too similar, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing.
They're not physical enough. That's why they need to have someone like Saïss in there. I said it the other week that. And Dye wasn't the solution, but that sort of option was needed.
I don't think it's good that they're not physical enough. I think because you looked at Moutinho when he came on, he was throwing himself into some tackles.
I'm just comparing like to when the Watford game with Kapuri and Decore, they just battered him, didn't they?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You're doing a bit of Vieira presence.
Yeah.
But Moutinho was putting himself about in the second half when he came on.
And he ran his bollocks off against Chelsea as well.
Yeah, that, I mean that's as well. It was probably the logical thing to rest him because he was a 32-year-old man running around for that long. He's got obviously going to be knackered.
But their centre mids weren't really brutes, was there?
No, but that, I mean, we're going to that you ain't got the brutes against Bournemouth either. Really,
I think they'll be a good game on Saturday because I think they ain't going to come and try and rough house or something. They want to play football, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They just have the cheats instead. Sorry. I'm just thinking back to their promotion year. I'm hoping that, like with Sace, because him and Neves played together pretty much exclusively in the league like last season, that he would bring out more or the better play in Neves, but then Moutinho's back in the groove as well. I mean, I do agree. Neves has not been great at all. I mean, his best game, arguably, is probably still opening day.
He might be the one that just needs a goal or an assist to kick him on.
Yeah, because he's free kicks against Newcastle, which is really poor. I know that one, his first one was on target, but it was just, Neves, it was really soft.
But even the long balls he was trying on last year, they were dropping to people's feet. Now his long balls are either coming, they're falling short or they're going too far out of play. So something's not right. I mean, I'm confident he'll get it back because Nuno will find it very hard to leave him out because he is the poster boy for our team, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's going to find it very hard and have some explaining to do if he takes him out. Because especially if he's going to get sold soon. I'm going to say
the less transfer fee people pay, won't they?
Well, yeah, if you're going to go at the end of the season, which I still think he will do, tattoo or no tattoo, then he's got to play, hasn't he? Because you can't sell him when you're off the back of just not playing him. Mm. That's not really going to boost the transfer fee.
Let's talk about good and bad performances of other players, and let's talk a bit more detail about Traoré, because he started up front and it just did not work once again, did it?
The only thing he did was get felled, which was...
He won a lot of fouls, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a lot of fouls, and the one that he could have been crucial didn't even get given. When he was Lascelles kind of forearm smashed him.
Oh, yeah.
Lex Luger elbowed him.
Yeah, nothing whatsoever given for that. But... he's just an enigma wrapped up in a problem. He's just, there's no point of him being around when he's performing that badly.
It took Thierry Henry a bit to get used to being a centre forward.
I think there is an argument that people looked at that lineup, for example. We haven't talked about that and thought, why have we dropped Jimenez and Gibbs White? And you've got to, it was the third game in 9 days. You've got to mix up a bit.
I mean, I'd rather play Gibbs White up front than him. If we could play Jimenez for whatever reason, I'll just put Gibbs White up there because
poor Bonatini, not even getting the luck in him with his two.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Bonatini were on the Hatherton the other week. Very nice people.
Of course they were.
You just got to drop him and just hope against hope that if he is going to stick around and we're going to persevere with him, that he gets something off the bench. Maybe just a freak. Maybe just to reignite him somehow. But I just can't see where he's going to come from.
Answer me this. How long have you had that mattress? Because it's looking even lumpier than my lockdown love handles. And while those might be more cuddly, a lumpy mattress is doing nothing for your comfort levels or your sleep. So whatever body you're rocking, put it on a Nectar mattress. And right now you can save over $500 on any queen or king bundle. That includes a Nectar mattress, foundation, mattress protector, cooling pillows, and sheet set, as well as our 365-night home trial and a forever warranty. Go to nectarsleep.com/save500 and get hugged.
Because he was diabolical.
He's not good enough to stop because he's only got like 5 to 10 sprints in him a game. And I don't think it benefits him not playing every week and only being relied on when games are stretched, when most weeks we've been behind when he's been coming on.
He's in some ways, it's kind of been not trying to be disrespectful to him, a bit of a glorified squad player, if that makes sense. If you were a top 16 and you had him on there, he would just be a bench player you bring on for the last 10 minutes. Wouldn't you, surely?
I just don't think...
Yeah, he just doesn't seem to be a player that, at the moment, you'd be starting every week.
I don't think you can play him up front. It's just none of his attributes work with being a target man up front. I know he's big, but his whole game is pace. I mean, no matter how big he is, his whole game is pace and dribbling, so you're not going to get that by sticking him up front.
He can't read through balls.
Yeah. So the only way you're going to get anything out of him at the minute by trying is on the wings. That's his whole game. So I don't know why he put him. I'm sure he's got his reasons why he put him up front. They tried to explain it after the game on match day, but I can't see any logic behind having him up front.
And they've tried it twice, and both times it's gone badly wrong.
I honestly do think that he was bought as a wing back option, just because he played there a couple of times for Middlesbrough, and he can actually tackle. If you go on on YouTube and look at his highlight reel for Middlesbrough, there's a couple of brilliant tackles that he puts in there, and I don't think that Doherty's starting the season like he has and just being a class act is just relegating him to being a bit part player.
Was there other players then, good, bad, anyone people want to make note of the game on Saturday or Sunday, sorry?
I was studying Bennett's long throws for the first 10 minutes of the game, thinking, you play Cardiff and then look what happens, you start doing long throws.
I don't know why, but I'm actually really liking the long throws from Bennett. There's something about it.
I didn't think we'd do it.
Ryan Bennett to a T.
Oh, he loves it, doesn't he? Trotting along, drawing the ball, get it in.
It's the fact that they found it out by accident as well.
Oh, really?
I was just not being... Well, Spears said it in front of so many people last week, so he said that when he talked to Cody about it, and they had a competition in training just to see who could throw the ball the furthest.
And Nuno's ears just pricked, and Darwin didn't win.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a thing after training, just as a bit of a mess about, and he came out with that. And it's just evolved from there. So it was something that seemed to be a complete accident.
It does play into our hands with Bolly, doesn't it, though? Just that one launch into the box and Bolly just brooting his way to an header.
And although it sounds quite what people would say old school and maybe outdated, it's a different thing for us to use.
Yeah,
I mean, and we are in the English Premier League, so let's use that to our advantage.
We can't play sexy football for 90 minutes, can we?
Exactly.
You've got to have a bit of rough and tumble.
We're not a machine, are we?
Slap and tickle.
Anyone else at all of note or bad note?
Well, but the whole back three again was pretty sound. Mm. I mean, again, you're saying about their goal, but it was just a superb header.
Mm.
And you just got hands up sometimes saying, yeah, fair play. But now, I mean, Stace was excellent. Amazingly, I'd say man of the match was Jota for me. He was just everywhere, and he was a constant threat for the whole game.
Anybody else, or do you want to go on to Champagne Man of the Match? No,
just for this one game only.
I'll give mine to. We always do Champagne Man of the Match.
I thought.
Listen to the podcast, Adam.
Prosecco. It's Prosecco Champagne.
Right. Okay. Let's do Man of the Match.
Expensive Lamborghini Prosecco is.
I'll defer to the expert over there.
Let's do Man of the Match now. Champagne Man of the Match, it's the bottle of Prosecco and your caviar for your Man of the Match. Stu is going for Jota. Dan, who is
Jota? Jota. Constant threat. Goal. Assist. He's back.
Yeah.
He's back. Bye-bye.
First goal with Diogo Jota on his back.
Oh, not noticed that.
Well, he had silver last year because of the EFL rules.
Oh, yeah, true, true. Adam, your Man of the Match?
I think for Doherty.
There's always one, isn't there? There's always one.
Just because I want to be different. And also because...
He shouldn't be in that position to score.
And because he only cost 70 grand. 70 grand?
What is 25? Was he going... Well, unless it's like plus appearances and stuff.
Oh, I don't know. He cost not a lot of money.
You know, thinking for a wing-back to be in that position in like the 85th minute or... No, 90th minute? I can't
94th
remember. 94th
minute.
Yeah. But yeah. I was still delirious about it, to be honest. He shouldn't be there.
He did. Look, again, he seemed to come from nowhere.
Well, if you watch it when they did the analysis, and he was marking Kennedy the other end of the pitch.
Yeah,
and he just left him for dead.
It's just like Carl Emmerich, Charleston all over again. Why is he there? But I don't care.
But I'm so glad you're there.
I'm going for Jota as well. Three for Jota, one for Doc. It's always one.
Take that, Adam.
All in all though, gentlemen, a win, always like a last minute win, up to 10th in the league. Everything is rosy again in Wolverhampton.
Six is beckoning.
Europa.
We've just made up for the Cardiff and Huddersfield, haven't we? We should have won them two games. I think we could have, well, most people would have accepted lose to Chelsea. You would have been upset to lose against Newcastle. I think it all boils down to, if you look at fixtures in blocks, Saturday, if you can get like 3 points there, you're 2 points more than we should have been, really.
We're probably about 6 points behind where we should be, really.
Oh yeah, that five defeats in six or whatever it was, that was a killer, wasn't it?
I mean, you look at the Brighton game, how brilliant we were that day. That deserved a win, let alone a defeat.
Yeah.
Right, before we get into the Bournemouth game, we'll do another feature which will only either last for 1 minute or for the entire show. And that when we did our mental health podcast, we hinted at, we started talking about which Wolves players would have fake or real Christmas trees. So for the fun of it, let's analyse, let's look into people's houses, let's see whether they do have fake or real Christmas trees. I've made a list, gentlemen, of people. You just have to tell me if you think they've got real or fake Christmas trees. Again, I have no idea if they do. We're just guessing here for the fun of it. How about Patricio? People are listening to this going, this is what I'm listening to.
He's been spotted in IKEA, hasn't he, Patricio? So he definitely would have bought a real one from out the front.
Okay. He seems like a real man.
Yeah.
To me, in the Christmas
sense. Yeah, that was a nice little video on his Instagram where his little kids go running up to him when he comes in the house. So even I enjoyed that. I don't like kids, but I enjoyed that video.
You've got a cold heart, is that what it is?
I got time for him. I got time for him.
Neither of me and Stu, really, or Dave.
You just got a choice.
Bennett, real or fake?
Oh, real. He would have cut it down himself.
See, I think he's more of a fake tree man, Bennett. I think he's a man who, once it gets 1 minute after midnight on Boxing Day, he's taking the tree down. Said, that's it. Christmas is done. Back in the box. Done.
He hasn't got time for real trees. He's too busy practicing his chords on the guitar.
Exactly.
If we just say practicing his thrones in the garden, then.
And that as well.
We've all done it, though.
But yeah, we all have all practiced long throws.
Mom, you're watching. You're not watching. Watch.
He's probably threw the star on top of his tree from a distance, hasn't he?
And see, well, actually, now, because if he had a real tree, he couldn't tuck it into anything, could he? So yeah,
there we go.
It'll have to be perfectly symmetrical. Can't get that with fur.
Bolly?
I don't think he's even got a tree.
Nah, treeless.
No. He just wants to be left alone. For it. Just wants to play Candy Crush and that's it.
Doc?
No.
Okay. He's not his bag, is it? A real
tree? He has. He's got a real tree, but he's got, like, you know, them those little putting machines where you put it into a hole and shoot it back to you.
Oh, yeah,
he's
yeah.
got one of them that leads up to the Christmas tree.
He's got his Christmas tree is almost like a crazy golf course in his house.
Exactly.
I like it. I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
The tree's not the focal point. It's just a hazard in a way, isn't it?
Moutinho. I think he'd be a real man, wouldn't he?
Such a class about the man, so he'd have a classy Christmas tree, wouldn't he?
I'm thinking silver. Silver kind of theme.
Silver and white gold.
Yeah.
Are you saying you're not a real man if you don't have a real Christmas tree?
Oh yeah, that's obviously the title of the podcast. I've got a real Christmas tree. Look at me.
No, I misheard. I thought you were saying if you haven't got a Christmas tree, you're not a real man.
That's for you to interpret.
I don't think I'm not even putting a Christmas tree up.
You can't put a star on
it. It's because you're cold heart, isn't it? That's why.
Yeah, I got time for Christmas. It's just a break from work for me.
Neves. Again, I would think real tree.
Well, he's the Antichrist now, so no.
he's
just a stick of fire.
He's getting the voodoo dolls out next of Neves. That's the top of your Christmas tree.
He's got pepper armies with matchsticks sticking out the side. That's Neves' Christmas tree.
Cav. I think Cav would be a fake Christmas tree person.
I don't think Cav would have a normal Christmas tree. He would have multiple little LED ones throughout his house because it's a bit bling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he speaks.
I don't know why I clipped my fingers.
He does speak incredibly well, though.
Who, Cav?
Yeah. I think they've done one video of him in 2 years of him being here. And if you it's bent a bit. It was a few weeks ago. And he speaks. He's almost like thespian.
He has got a quite a nice accent, but it's very. Not high pitched, but quite. Well, I don't want to say feminine either, but
it's like David Beckham.
Yeah.
Decibel level.
Yeah. Very surprising. You'd think he'd be a bit more gruffer.
Yeah. You think he'd be a bit like the guy from Green Mile.
Oh, don't know about that. Michael Clark Duncan. Yeah. Duncan Clark. I don't know.
He's dead, eh?
Rest in peace. The big lad.
Jimenez.
I think he's still living in a hotel, so I'm going to say no tree.
He uses the hotel tree as his tree. He just puts presents under the
hotel
tree.
Sits in the lobby all night long.
Sir, I've told you this for the fourth time. Do not put presents under that tree. Thank you.
They're not real chocolates, Raoul. We've told you this.
Oh my God, my mouth.
What was that?
That's him
eating. Do it in a more of a Mexican accent.
I'm not even going to bother. How about your boy Tim Spears? Because I did ask your boy Tim Spears whether he has a real or fake Christmas tree.
Well,
so does your boy Tim Spears have a real or fake Christmas tree?
I think
tree?
Real tree with all the trimmings everywhere.
All the trimmings of the real tree. Adam, real or fake, your boy Tim Spears?
he would have a couple of branches out of an empty cider bottle with a little tiny bottle cap on the top for a star. Okay. So, in short, fake.
Fake, okay. Dan, real or fake, your boy Tim Spears?
Fake.
It was fake. Gone for a fake tree this year. How about your boy Nathan Jadar?
Oh.
Real or fake?
The biggest real tree in all of the Midlands.
Yeah. So we asked him also, what do you think he said to moi, real or fake?
He's probably grown it in his own orchard.
I reckon Judas had one imported from Canada somewhere that's got, it's been vacuum packed and everything, so it's pristine, so he can have it out in the front of his house.
Massive bay window.
Yeah.
Home Alone style.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, Judari's fake tree.
I think he's gave you some fake news there.
Oh, no, he sent me a picture, by the way. He sent me a picture. That feature went well, didn't it? Went really well. Right, let's talk about the game on Saturday. It's a classic 3 o'clock kickoff, everybody. We're back to 3 o'clocks. Wolves are home to Bournemouth. Wolves, obviously, 10th in the table at the minute. Bournemouth in 8th. I'll do the goodie preview in a second. But can we make it 3 in a row?
I'd love nothing more than smash them into oblivion.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about that game, that 2-1 defeat at home.
I'm talking about the 2-1 away as well.
What the was that the home one was when VLP and Doc got both sent off?
Yeah.
Just before Christmas, was that? Was that just before Christmas?
You're ruining the quiz, Dave. You're ruining the quiz.
I mean, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Anyway, the goalie preview. Firstly, they've had a distinct drop off in form. They've lost as many games as they've won now. I was looking at the fixtures earlier. They've only won like 2 in the league in the last 8, I think. It's not that.
It's incredible. We're only 1 or 2 points behind them.
Yeah. In the league. We're only 1 point behind them.
They have had a drop off then, definitely. Yeah.
But they're still 6.
No, they're 8. Almost. But the fact they're still there, given some of the recent results. Obviously, they lost 4-0 at home at the weekend to Liverpool, who are now top of the league. One of the points Goody makes here is that many of their signings have flopped, Afobe being one of them. And obviously, Goody here makes a point about that 2-1 defeat. But let's talk about Eddie Howe firstly for Bournemouth, because there is obviously still media attention on him in terms of could he be a future England manager. Do you get the hype with Eddie Howe, or is it just media wanting an English manager again to replace an English manager in the future?
I've got no real problem with Eddie Howe. I just think he's, yeah, he's massively overhyped, and he's had the backing, but he's still developed a very good team with, well, it's not even limited resources because they've had more resources than a lot of teams in the league. But you've still got to do it. You've still got to do your job. And to get them playing that style of football when you got others, the British Managers Club of Allardyce and Pardew and all the rest of them, then he's got to get some kind of credit. I just don't think, I think he's vastly overrated for what he actually is.
Anybody else? Howe? Any thoughts on Mr. Howe?
No, I've got no thoughts. I would just agree. He's just massively overhyped for me.
He probably will be like a contender for England manager because there's not many contenders, is there? And he's doing very successful given
the size of the club, the money potentially he might have or not have.
He's not like the highest ranking English manager then in the league. I mean, he probably will be, but I mean, that's not to say that he's great because the talent pool available for an England manager is very short. I'm not sure. I get sick of the old plucky little Bournemouth tag.
It's an easy thing for media, isn't it? It's the underdog story that we all latch onto eventually.
If they were Northern, no one would care. It's a proper Southern media bias thing, that is. But the other thing about it, the only time he's left Bournemouth, he failed massively at Burnley.
He burned.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then he was reborn again at Bournemouth. Sorry.
Yes. No.
Cut that out, Dave.
Last 5 results for Liverpool, for Bournemouth, of course, they lost to Liverpool at home 4-0. They did beat Huddersfield 2-1 at home, but then they lost 3-1 to Man City, 2-1 to Arsenal, 2-1 to Newcastle as well. Old Bournemouth. For our team, then, obviously, do you make any changes? Because I think the key thing which I talked about with Newcastle was Sace. It seems like more that he keeps his position, but who partners him up? Is it Moutinho? Is it Neves? Is it Gibbs-White? What would people go for?
This is going to be another one, like I said when I said 2 weeks ago, that there's no point talking about it, and then Nuno actually did change things. Personally, I'd go back to what we did against Chelsea and play with Gibbs White kind of floating rather than the rigid 3-4-3, just because of the movement and Wilson being a constant pain and a threat. But
is he not injured?
I think he should be back.
Oh, is he?
I'm not 100% sure on that one. But personally, that's what I'd do, because even though he had that assist for the Jota goal, Costa didn't do anything again, and he's almost as frustrated as Traore, and that's saying something. But I'd change it up with Moutinho and Gibbs White, and well, Jimenez obviously as well, and just go back to the Chelsea team, as it worked so well, and we played better against a better footballing side, which is what they are.
Anybody else who changes at all? Not just the middle, could be elsewhere on the pitch.
Can't change any of the back three or the wing backs. For me, I'd have to start Gibbs White. Mm. Have to. Just because he's bloody good, isn't he? Gibbs White, he's bloody good. Get him on the plane. You're going to be like the other one, from the have a plane this big, getting everyone on there. But it's a tough one for me to call, actually, with the Neves, Saiz, Moutinho. I don't know. I'm not quite sure what I would do. It's clearly working well with Saiz in there, so I wouldn't like to drop him. So I'd keep him, and then I'd flick a coin with Moutinho and Neves. But I mean, but if you're going to pick on form, and it's like a brave man for him to do it, but you'd have to take Neves out.
Dan,
yeah, agreed. I think Jimenez for Traore, and then it's Moutinho or Neves,
and keep Jota and Costa on the wings.
For me, just because I've got Costa in my dream team, he needs to stay, and I need these points at the moment.
There's always the forgotten man.
I was just going to say, Cav's just sat there on the bench.
No, the even more forgotten man. It's never even been mentioned.
Dendonka's
debut against Chelsea.
Yeah, he does live.
And I thought he was an ironic cheers when he came on.
Yeah.
More than anyone else. And it was like his first touch of the ball, massive cheer fell. But I don't think he don't look fat anymore. He looks quite slender. So I think when Saiz inevitably does get his suspension in a few weeks' time, because he's already two appearances, two bookings. Was it three now?
And is it, if I've got this right, is it Bennett, Cody and Jota are all one booking away from getting it would be a one game ban,
wouldn't it? Yeah, it's one game.
So one of them's getting a booking.
Yeah.
Against Bournemouth.
I mean, it's a bit daft. They could all do a game, book next game, because I know Liverpool's going to be a tough game, but we don't want to lose to Liverpool, but you could tech losing to Liverpool, couldn't you, at the moment?
Yeah, if you're going to be tactical, then that's
what I mean. Use Liverpool as a free hit. Ugly tactics.
Yeah.
Bennett could get booked, and you can throw Dendonka in for him.
It's when you lose two of the back three that's house returns. In a house party on a Friday night against Liverpool, it writes itself.
He's got a very upright run, Dendonka has. If that is, his chest is out when he's running on. Just something I noticed against Chelsea.
All right, before we get into the quiz, Dan's quiz of tour, the quizmaster is here. Let's do predictions for the weekend. How are you feeling of this Tuesday evening, Wolves versus Bournemouth in the Premier League? Adam, what's your prediction?
Third 2-1 in a row.
Third 2-1 in a row. Okay. Stu?
I'm hoping for a smashing 4-0.
You know that doesn't happen, though.
I know it doesn't happen, but one day it will. And if it happens against them, the day after my unfortunate operation as well. But thankfully, I can drink from 11 o'clock in the morning, so I'm okay. But I can't be jumping around.
So you're secretly hoping not for a 4-0?
No, I'm hoping to be in severe pain, which will give me more pleasure.
He's hoping to need another operation after the game.
So 4-0 for Stu.
2-1.
2-1, another 2-1. I'll say 2-0 Wolves. Standard. It'll be a standard Saturday afternoon win.
We're still not keeping track of these, no?
No. Doing the quiz.
Sure, yeah, but no, that was the quiz ones, not the predictions.
Oh, no, the predictions will be done in due course.
See, I do listen.
Stu does his homework, basically. Anyway, let's do the quiz, everybody. It is the versus quiz, which Dan, the quizmaster, is here for. It's versus Bournemouth. Now, on last week's show, Stu dropped the bombshell that he had actually made a league table of the wins. Now, because of Stu's win last week, I presume Stu now takes the lead over Andy in the table, yeah, top of the league. And I guess it's either for Stu to really have a vice-like grip on the league, or for a chance for either Adam and I, who are now battling out for third, fourth, would that be? I think you made a judge's call in the group last week, and you were awarded another point because you did win on the mental health podcast quiz.
Stu's inquiry.
So, just can you just give us quickly the top five, Stu?
Me with four, Andy with three, you two with two, and then Ben, ooh, Rich, Baron, Paul, Dan with one.
Here we go. Dan, you've got your quiz. Please start in quiz manner.
If we're going to do like Crystal Maze, then will you start the fans, please? Anyway, you're all going to know this one. This is an easy one. Who was the last player to score for Wolves at home to Bournemouth? I'll come to you first, Dave, because you're a bit of a rookie at these quizzes.
Like a dark horse. Who was the last player to score at home against, yep, Bournemouth? I actually really don't know. I'm going to say a phobie? I've no idea. I really can't remember.
Adam?
Yeah, I was going to say a phobie. I'll stick to it, though. A phobie.
Stu, to get the point.
It seems too obvious to be a phobie. Dicko?
The correct answer from that 2-1 game was Danny Graham.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
All rookies.
Oh,
yeah. Rookies.
Good old Danny Graham. Anyway.
We'll all know this one, apparently, is what he said.
I was just convinced you'd know that one. 77 would have got that right. We had two strikers on our bench that day. Name them. Come to you first, Drew.
Well, if did Danny Graham start then?
Yeah.
Oh, what a glorious time. Two strikers on the bench, okay. It was before Vyman Wari. Oh, this, how long was this? 4 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holt. And would Siggy have gone by then? Probably. Yeah. Grant Holt, and I'll say Dicko again because he might be on the bench.
So that's your two. Dave?
So I think I'm getting the years wrong here because I was going to say Sagbo, but I think I've got the year wrong there. I'm going to say, I'll just say Dicko and Sagbo, the ultimate duo.
Yeah, I'll say Sagbo. I'll stick with Sagbo and I'll say, well, we didn't have Holt on, didn't we both on the same time at loan, did we? Sagbo and Holt. I'll say Sagbo and Holt.
All three of you haven't got one correct answer there.
What?
The two strikers were Leon Clark and Liam McAlinden. I think we went through a bit of a glut. I think Van der Parra might have started up front with Graham that game, thinking about it, because we was that low on strikers at the time. Yeah. And that's when we ended up signing Holt and Sagba, roughly around that time. God, you're awful, lads. Next question. Wolves have played Bournemouth only 9 times in our history. 5 in cups, 4 in the league. But what's the highest score on in those games?
I'll go 4-1.
Adam?
3-1.
4-all.
Oh, Dave, you was close. It was 4-3 to Wolves in the Freight Rover Trophy in 1986. It's sort of a similar to the
a classic cup.
What's the Checker Trade now, where there's like Southern and Northern Aryan group sections? So the next question is, in the 3-team Southern section preliminary group that Wolves were in with Bournemouth, so there's 3 teams in a group, who was the 3rd team with Wolves and Bournemouth?
Oh, God.
Plymouth.
Dave loves a Plymouth.
My standard answer.
You need to start like just getting Plymouth Wolves questions just to give you a chance.
For clarification, that's the 5th time he's mentioned Plymouth this season.
Worked the one time, didn't it?
Got a soft spot for Plymouth.
Green RME. I want to say Oxford.
So is this going to be a weird Southern section like when we were in the
So he's going to say St Ives.
Swindon.
The correct answer was Cardiff.
Oh, I was close to geographically.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that, Stu. This is a tough one.
Like the others was easy.
Former Wolves and current Bournemouth midfielder Andrew Sermon was born where?
Oh, this is going to be a proper curveball one. Frankfurt.
Wow, Dave, you have gone a bit left field.
Really gone left field with that one.
Portsmouth.
All the pressures on Adam.
Stuart's gone for Portsmouth.
Portsmouth, Frankfurt, and what?
I can't believe you've gone Frankfurt. A British Army naval base in Cyprus.
The correct answer was Johannesburg, South Africa.
See why I went left field now?
I also went outside of these shores.
Right, still no points for anyone.
We've got one question.
This is awful, come on!
It's one question, then it goes to a tiebreaker, which is probably going to be needed. What historical moment in Wolves history occurred on Andrew Sermon's debut for the club?
Historical moment? In the world?
No, in Wolves history.
Wolves history.
What historical moment in Wolves' history occurred on Andrew Sermon's debut?
It's me not listening properly.
I think I know this, so...
Stu thinks he knows this, Dave.
Historical moment. I'll let Adam go first.
So, I'm just trying to think of the date and time. So, it would have been... This was when he was in the Premier League under McCarthy, wasn't it? I don't know. I'm going to defer to Dave.
do you want to take the points, Stu?
I thought I'm probably wrong there because McCarthy did sign him there, and I was thinking of the year after that. I thought my first instinct was the 7,000th goal, but I think that's probably wrong now.
Well, that's your first answer, so you got it wrong.
It was the 8,000th goal.
No.
It was the 7,500th goal.
No, it was our first Premier League away win. Away to Wigan 1-0.
KO.
Yep. Just something as simple as that.
We're just overthinking it, aren't we? Just overthinking it. So it's the first time, I think, none of us have got a question in the main bit for it to go to a tiebreaker. Yeah.
Can I just say that was terrible from us last
year? Yeah,
that
it was. Poor form.
Make it easier next week.
No, just make it easier for us when we're in there when we're next on.
So we're going to a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker, though.
To the nearest 100, mm-hmm. What was the attendance for Newcastle Wolves the weekend?
I think I know this, actually.
50,170.
Okay, I might have to go to the nearest individual then.
50,171.
50,136.
The correct answer was 50,223.
I'm nicking these quizzes once again. I'm telling you.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
What was the attendance?
50,223.
What'd
you say?
171.
One
above.
More than me.
Bear in mind that...
Chop out.
Sliming his way up.
Bear in mind, that I do these quizzes most weeks and I'm now where on the table? Third?
You don't actually, because I've got the attendance per quiz. You've actually played six times now.
I stand by my statement.
Andy's played seven. I've now played seven. So you'll now, but you are joint second now with Andy.
Telling you. I'm going to steal it from under your eyes.
He's going to 1-0 his way.
I will be the quiz king. Right, we're going to end the podcast on Twitter Corner. Your chance to send us your questions, Wolves or non-Wolves related. We'll answer them at WWFC Fancast on Twitter. Or you can email us podcast@wolvesfancast.com if you want to. Brett, straight in there. How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant? This is the question of our time, gentlemen. Let's make sure we answer this. How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant?
It depends if they were free range or not, because if they were captive chickens, they'd be pissed off, wouldn't they? So
they would go mental all over the elephant, wouldn't they?
I suppose they were grain fed. Wasn't it?
A sensible 200.
200. No, an elephant would take out a lot of them in one go, with one fell stomp. At least 2,000.
So we've got 2,000. Dan, how many chickens to kill an elephant?
One Theresa May sized chicken. I just these questions, I'm sorry. They're just daft.
I think that's the point, though.
I know, but it's just like, I don't think any amount of chickens could kill an elephant.
I think they probably could.
Them too daft to kill an elephant. They wouldn't know what to do, and an elephant would just stamp on
them. If you gave them time, if you trained them.
Oh, so now you're changing the subject now. What don't we just give them guns?
If you could.
that's a point.
Or laser beams on their head.
Chicken. Have you never seen Chicken Run?
It's a great film, by the way.
Yeah, it's an animation.
Yeah.
So that means that. Oh, well, let's get the animators to just draw guns on the wings and.
I think that'll be the sequel, won't it?
Chicken Guns.
Chicken Run, The Revenge. Chicken Guns, that's better.
Four chickens laced up on heroin with a gun on each beak. That's all I can think of.
And the blade in the back pocket, just in case.
Yeah. Four dirty chickens.
I'll go with Dan's. Four. With all those utensils.
Should have been turkeys, really, for time of year.
Let's not get testicle, shall we?
Testicle?
That one as well. Chris B3, Chris, who tweeted last week, said, I asked you last week if Jota would step up to the Prem. This week's question, how stupid am I?
Well, we all him as well. I thought he'd been a bit of a chancer. I don't think he ever would.
I think he's quite stupid. That's
there
my response.
Straight in there from Adam.
The brain of four chickens. That's so stupid.
Another question for Chris Walters, which I think we've kind of talked about anyway, but do you think Jota performs better when he has a more attacking wing back behind him? The games he's played with Vinagre have been stark contrast to when he plays with Johnny. It's coincidental that I think they've joined up, it has worked better.
I think he's when he's got a bit of a challenge more than an attacking wing back, because he has to do some defensive work. With Johnny behind him, he doesn't really have to do anything, because defending is Johnny's bread and butter. So I think it's probably more to do with that than having an attacking wing back behind him. But whatever the answer is, it's working.
Or is it the fact that Azpilicueta had no cover for him, so it was two against one, and then he was playing against Championship wing back?
That as well.
Just breaking it down, Danny. Just give him a bit of realism there. Stewie's in fancy land, Danny's in realism land.
Real City, Texas.
I don't know how you're both in the same room. It's just two polarising views.
A goal and assist has done him good, but I don't think we need to be overhyping him.
I think it was his general level of performance against admittedly a Championship team, but if we'd have played a cup game against a Championship team with his form before, he wouldn't have played like that.
We'll just swap the name Neves and put Jota in the Juventus
Neves
links.
Is
what's going to happen.
This week's Costas as the scapegoat.
He's making himself a scapegoat.
Just before we finish, it's time for the advert, gentlemen, which we always read out every single week, and it's from our partners, Pixel Yeti Media. If you're looking for a new web design or your business needs a bit of logo or a bit of marketing, go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. Gentlemen, what do they do? You've heard this advert many times now. List off what they do, Adam, without looking at the sheet.
Who, Pixel Yeti Media?
Yeah, what do they do? They're not just web designers, are they? What else do they do?
They make pixels.
They do make pixels. What else do they do?
Well, I've done my one. So you can...
They're a creative agency.
They are.
Digital marketing.
Doesn't say that, but I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Back to Adam.
And a sponsor of the Fancast.
They do.
The greatest podcast in all of the land.
The award-winning. They do more than three things.
Adam. They do lots of things.
Sorry, I was only aware of those three things. Enlighten me, tell me what they do.
Well, they do websites. Oh, they do brochures.
Fantastic.
They do signage.
Awesome.
Marketing.
Great.
Logo design.
Okay.
Didn't they say digital marketing?
No, just marketing. I think they would do digital marketing. And branding as well. So you can go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. See?
There you go.
Thank you to the sponsors. What? And that's it, everybody.
That could brand these chickens that I'm going to kill an elephant. I'm getting over that.
Pixel Chicken Media.
They could brand the guns that the chickens have.
You ain't getting over that. You're going to be thinking about that
How
all night now.
Heroin addicts could eat chickens before the sunrise. What are we answer that question?
I'm sure that's from Dust Till Dawn 4.
Why are you asking how many heroin addicts can it take to kill an elephant?
Oh, yeah, but there's a method behind that, because they could just stick a syringe in the elephant. What's a chicken going
to
do?
Yeah, but what would happen
to it? This bloke making it, so it's all right. Just carry on.
Chicken, all they can do is egg an elephant. That's all they can do.
Yeah, but what would happen if you put heroin into an elephant? It'll go insane, wouldn't it? You wouldn't be able to kill it then. It'd be invincible.
You could actually be breeding a new breed of super elephants that rule the earth. So don't be getting heroin addicts to inject elephants.
I'm going
out
of West Park. I'm collecting them tonight.
And that is where we're going to leave this week's podcast, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our sponsors, Pixel Yeti Media. You can follow us all week on social. Just type in Wolves Fancast, and you will find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can check out our website, wolvesfancast.com, as well. And we'll be back next week, gentlemen, for our kind of Christmas special. Because, as per usual, it's the podcast nearest to Christmas. We'll be talking about that game against Bournemouth and previewing the game against Liverpool. And surely there will be more talk of animals, animals versus animals, which Dan will lap up completely.
Stupid.
Your homework for the next time you're on the podcast is to come up with a legitimate way that chickens could kill an elephant. And I need you to report back on your next appearance on the podcast.
Okay.
Good. For this week, it's bye from Adam.
Bye-bye.
Bye from Stu.
Adios.
Bye from Dan.
Ta-da.
Bye from me. See you next time.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hey, what's up? I'm Sean T. I'm the host of Trust and Believe, a podcast where we take you on a journey every single week to help you trust and believe in who you are, from food struggles to nutrition struggles to even motivating you in your fitness. We help you push so that you can conquer your mind, transform your life, and always dig deeper in every area of your life. I am your biggest fan, and each week you will know that I'm bringing you everything you need to help elevate your life in the best way that you know how. So please join me every Monday and Friday so you can always trust and believe in who you are.
Acast recommends.